Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is your host, Frank Congelos. It's a pleasure to be with you this week. You know, through the month of October, we're going to be discussing what I refer to as Financial Planning Month. And, you know, it's interesting. The name of the show is Discovering Responsible Wealth, and a lot of people sometimes assume, well, Frank, you always must be talking about wealth. And the reality is responsible wealth is really about living that balanced life, you know, of faith, family, health, purpose, and money. And when I go through those wealth building blocks, money is the last thing that we talk about. But through this month, we're going to be spending all of our time really on the financial planning side of money and what does it mean. My guest today is one of my partners over at CNA Financial Group, Sam Soprano. Sam Soprano is a CFP, one of our vice presidents over there. And Sam, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this week. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Sam, you know, it's interesting. You know, there's some statistics out. One of the statistics that are out there says that, you know, less than 1% of the population actually has written goals.
This is true. In fact, Harvard did a study on their graduates and those who wrote goals down and those who didn't. And the ones that did were 1,000 times more productive and successful.
Interesting. So when we talk about financial planning, what we're really talking about is the fact that you need to have a plan. And when we, you know, talk about that, you know, I know people look at it all different ways, and some people will look and they'll have that tomorrow attitude, which is, well, I'll get to it at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. And the reality is you can spend your life doing that. Next thing you know, you're sitting here at 60 or 65 years old, and you're saying, well, I guess I should have planned better.
Yeah. That happens to a lot of people.
And, you know, we've seen it doing what we do. So what I'm going to tell you is, you know, that's one of the perspectives people have. Another perspective which people have, which is kind of interesting, is that you really have to have money in order to plan.
Unfortunately, that is one of the misconceptions about planning. And I always say to people, you know, if you planned, you can't wait till you have money to plan. You have to plan to have money. And some people get that concept and others don't. But you have to start with a plan.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. You know, I'll tell a little story. Years back, you know, our office has always been in Southern Monmouth County, Ocean County area. And I remember years back, you know, when there were a group of people that worked in the Pathmark and Brick, mm-hmm. and they hit the lottery.
I remember.
And when that group of people hit the lottery, you know, we ended up with a few people had called on us to give them advice on what they should do with the money and so forth. And I remember in particular one couple that I sat down with that was introduced to me, and we had a conversation, and I started asking them all about their finances. And, you know, their conversation with me when I first started was, Frank, I never thought that I'd need an advisor. I never thought I'd have money to really, you know, sit down with someone and talk about, you know, what I should do. And part of the analysis that I provide to people, and we're going to talk more about it through the course of this month in the show, is to evaluate where they were at. And so when I was doing an evaluation of where they were at, and I was just showing them a few different things of what they should be doing with regard to credit cards and debt, mm-hmm. even if they never hit the lottery, there were so many different things that they could have done with their finances that would have improved their finances to the point where they could have saved an extra $400 to $500 per month. And they didn't even know it. It's that old adage, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. And a lot of people equate planning to investing. And that, I kind of tell people that's really not, you know, investing is one piece of the puzzle. It's not the whole puzzle. And if you're going to wait till you have money to invest, then you're never going to have a plan because it just doesn't work that way. You have to start at the beginning. You have to have a plan. Have to know where you want to go and then a roadmap to get there. And it has nothing to do with where you should invest money. That's kind of secondary.
You know, Sam, it's a great point because, you know, as we meet people over the years, and you and I are doing this for a while, and one of the things that we come across is that, you know, we'll meet someone and they go, well, I've got a financial plan. And I said, great. I said, tell me about it. And they go, well, I own insurance. And I go, well, insurance is a financial plan. Or I'll hear, well, I got a 401k.
Right. And that's a product. And it might be a good one, may be a bad one, but it's a product. It's not a plan. And so many people fall into that category of, well, my 401k is my plan. And you know, they're unfortunately they're going to get to the end of the road and they're going to realize that they missed the boat.
Or they never realize that they missed the boat, and it's one of those of, you know, because some, you know, the fact is we don't know what we don't know.
Right.
How do you know? And how do you know you're being all that you could be? It'd be the same as someone who says, you know what, I don't believe in doctors. So yeah. It's one of those of, you know, they go throughout their lifetime, they never go to a doctor. They said, oh, I never had to take a pill. I never had to do this, never had to do that. You know, and they pass away at age 72. They do a little autopsy. They come back and they go, oh, this person had this going on. Had they taken care of this, they would have been here for another 10 or 15 years.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that, you know, ignorance is bliss, but the reality is that we all, you know, we have a saying, and the saying is that we trade our time for money, mm-hmm. and we exchange it every day. You know, when we go to work, the reason why we work is for cash flow so that we can have a certain quality of life, so that we can do the things in life that we want to do, that we can help charities, we can help our church, we can help, you know, do whatever, mm-hmm. and that we can live and have a good quality of life. So what happens is that if you really think about it, if I'm going to trade my time for money, when I finally get paid at the end of the day, I should be a really good steward of that money, of what I'm going to do with it, and make sure that I'm utilizing it as efficiently as I can.
Right. And it's really, as I point out to people, it always comes back to cash flow. And if you don't like your cash flow, develop a plan of action. It has nothing to do with what investments you should own. It's, you got to start with little things. And financial planning is a roadmap of where you want to go. It's not a product. It's a strategy. It's a philosophy. And yet people time and time, and it's really not their fault. They're bombarded with commercials that just want to sell product to alleviate the pain. And we know that that's really not the case.
I call that headache and aspirin.
Exactly.
You know, they create a headache. If you die tomorrow, your family's going to be poor. They're going to be destitute, so buy some insurance.
Right.
Or they paint the picture of, you're going to be poor at retirement, so here, you know, gamble with your money, and I got this hot new product that just came onto the market.
Yeah. It's you know, I can do 8%. I can do 10%. I can do 15%. And, you know, it's just unrealistic, and it's not a plan. It's just a product that they want to buy to alleviate their pain.
So, you know, for our listeners, you know, part of what we're trying to get that message across to you is that it's really about a process, you know, and the process starts, and, you know, there's a good book that's out by Simon Sinek. The name of the book is Start With Why. And so I would suggest for our listeners that the place that you start when you start thinking in terms of, you know, financial planning, do I really need to do something like that, is why would you do it?
Yeah. What do you want to accomplish? What is your life supposed to look like? It's no different than, you know, talking to someone who goes to the gym on a regular basis. Why do they do that? You know, what gets them motivated to go? Do they want to look and feel a certain way? Well, if you want your financial life to look and feel a certain way, you need to have a plan. Well, how are you going to accomplish it? Why is it important? How, you know, is break it down. I mean, we talk about there's 90 days left of the year. You can accomplish a great deal in 90 days. But you need to start breaking it down. And what do I have to do day in and day out? You know, what's my plan of action? And that's what planning is. It's not what mutual fund you should buy.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. You know, as you're speaking, I'm thinking of, you know, because, you know, our listeners are faith-based people, and it's one of those of, you know, one of the things that, you know, I always think of is, you know, when we start talking about finances and what to do, I always think that the three gentlemen with the talents, and they were given talents. One got five, one got two, one got one, each according to their ability. So the one with the five goes out and he uses their talents, okay, mm-hmm. and comes back and says, look what I did with the five. I earned five more. The one comes back. Look what I did with what I had. Earned more. The other one goes and says, I buried him in the ground, okay, and gets, you know, chastised, you lazy servant, you know, and so forth.
Right.
You know, you should have at least put your money in the bank. So what's being said here is that when we traded our time for money, are we then being as efficient as we can with the money that we're given? And are we doing the right thing? And do we have a plan or plan of action that does that?
Right.
And that's really what financial planning is all about, which is, are you being the best that you can be with what you've been given?
Right. And what you alluded to before is true. You know, we don't know what we don't know. So people say, well, I could do this on my own. Well, you know what? You don't spend 8 to 10 hours to 12 hours a day going over your finances because you have to go to work and provide and do other things. I mean, you wouldn't perform surgery on yourself. You go to a doctor. So I think people need help and want help, but sometimes they're reluctant to, you know, make that call or sit down with someone because the fear of I don't have enough or I don't want to be embarrassed, and that's kind of foolish.
I agree 100%. So maybe, you know, for the balance of our show today, for our listeners, we can actually spend a little time talking about what comprises a plan, you know, because, sure, you know, there's a lot of people, I call them, you know, those wolves in sheep's clothing. They sound like a planner. They may look like a planner, but they don't plan.
No.
You know, what happens is they've got a product that they may be offering at the end of the day, and they're really not given that holistic advice of what does the whole person look like. Let's treat the whole person, not just a symptom.
Right.
So with that in mind, you know, let's talk a little bit about what does the plan actually look like. So,
okay.
You want me to start first, or you want to start first, Sam?
Listen, this is your show. You can start first.
Thank you, Sam. So, you know, what I say is the plan really starts with an assessment of where you are today. You know, it's kind of like if you went to the doctor's, and it was the first time you went to a doctor, and he runs a lot of tests, asks a lot of questions, and what they're really trying to identify is where are you today? How healthy are you with what you've been given? So up until this point in your life, what have you accomplished? Where do you stand?
Mm-hmm.
And that would incorporate looking at a financial statement, assets and liabilities. Are you in debt? What does your debt look like? What do your assets look like? There would be an insurance assessment that goes along with it, which is, are you properly protecting your life's work?
Right. In all aspects. You know, it covers a pretty broad range, you know, but that's one aspect of it. Then on the investment side, how are you saving? Where are you saving? What instruments are you using? Again, that's a different section.
Oh, absolutely. And then that, you know, that's a very important one, though, because there's people that may have investments and they may have, you know, money that are invested. And, you know, I always say is, you know, when the market is going up and things are great, everything looks good.
Sure.
But then all of a sudden, if we hit a correction in the market or the economy starts going the other way, there's a lot of people that have absolutely no idea how much risk they may be subject to or how much volatility they may see in what they own. They don't know.
Right. And I think that's a big area, should be a big area of concern for people, is how much risk am I willing to take and then how much am I actually taking? Because sometimes those two things don't match.
Well, yeah, it's funny when you say that, you know, which is, you know, we always have a saying that the largest cost to a person in their investing is themselves. And the reason why we say it's themselves is because oftentimes what occurs is that we become emotional when we make certain financial decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you can have someone that last year happened to get lucky and they bought a stock that went up 100% or 150%, and all of a sudden they go, geez, if I can just do this every year, I would be terrific. So what happens is we go and we start planning, and it's almost assuming like, okay, I went to Atlantic City and I won once.
Right.
So imagine if I could do that every week, and it's that false sense of security, or we start kidding with ourselves thinking that we could do that on a regular basis, and that's just not real.
That it isn't. And in fact, I have a meeting this week with someone who has that thought process in their head, and it's a little scary.
Well, you know, it's in, you know, for our listeners is, you know, if you really understand how people who work on Wall Street and who are traders and they do that for a living, you know, normally they get like a base compensation, and then their compensation is tied to a bonus program based upon did they, you know, hit their performance, their benchmarks, and so forth. And so whenever I hear that somebody says, oh, I can do that on a regular basis, I always say, so what are you doing here talking to me? You should be on Wall Street earning millions of dollars per year, and you should be a portfolio manager.
Yeah.
And the reality is it's
not, because even the portfolio managers can't hit their benchmarks, you know.
They don't do it every day.
They don't do it consistently.
Most of the time they miss.
Right.
So it's
and
one of those.
And that's what they do 14 hours a day.
With a lot of research, a lot of hard work, and a great education.
Right.
So when you think about that, you know, that's part of the whole planning. And when we talk about the investment side, because everybody thinks financial planning is the investment side.
Right.
The emotional side of investing is the largest cost to people of buying and selling at the wrong time, you know, and I've got a little sign that says buy on fear. I'm sorry, sell on fear, buy on greed, repeat the process till you're broke, which is if we did emotionally, you know, what we want to do with our investments, we'd end up all broke.
Yeah.
Because when things are going up, I want to be in. When things are going down, I want to get out. And so I'm buying and selling at the wrong time every single time, and I hurt myself.
Exactly. And again, once you have a plan of action, it's easier to stay the course because you know that this blip in the radar screen is just a blip and I shouldn't overreact to it. But I think that comes from having a good, sound plan of action. How does my investments work with the other things that I'm doing? How does it play out with what I own and where I want to be? And I think people tend to do things in a haphazard manner. They'll do their insurance work with one person and their investments with another and so forth. They have five or six other advisors and no one's on the same page. And you get piecemeal work. And that's how, as you know, we find the cracks in the plan because it's just not efficient.
So, as we're wrapping up our show today, the real insight becomes this, which is if you don't have a plan, you really don't have anything to measure whether or not you're making a right decision. Without direction, every direction sounds right.
Right.
So the whole purpose really of putting a plan in place is to start by giving you some direction so that you know what to say yes and what to say no to, and that's how you actually build and you protect your wealth. So for all of our listeners, you've been listening to Discovering Responsible Wealth. Our guest today, Sam Soprano, CFP over at CNA Financial Group, and this has been Frank Congelos, your host. If you have questions, you could write to us at the Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, or email us at info@iofrw.com. Thank you and have a blessed week.